It is Tuesday, April the 22nd, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, along with my tag team partner, Frank D. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. And just a quick reminder, is for all your wrestling news breaking through the day, definitely check out www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net. As always, your source on the World Wide Web for all your rosters, TV ratings, pay-per-view results, and definitely check out our audio section for previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast, the Body Slam podcast, and previous interviews we've done as well. So definitely check out gerwick.net. But first thing, Frank D., I hope you had a great Easter.
Oh, I did, Steve. It was excellent. Spent time with the familia. But now it's back to business, and we're going to tackle the issues today.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to talk about, and we're also going to get into some caller, I should say, listener comments that we'll dive into. But last night, Frank, was, of course, Monday Night Raw, and it's always different for us to do a Tuesday podcast because now we know what happened on Raw last night.
Right.
We saw the return of the masked Kane. I guess the corporate Kane is finally gone. And thoughts on the return of Kane, and looks like we're going to get Kane versus Daniel Bryan all over again.
Yeah, not really digging it myself, as you and I have talked about in prior conversations. When you've seen a match 100 times already, and it wasn't that good to start with, why would you think it would be any good now? Because the guy puts on a mask, and you know, he's the demon again or whatever. You know what? I'm not digging it. I don't like it. I think that somebody else should have been put into that spot. I'm thinking maybe more of a guy like a Sheamus or a Cesaro, Wade Barrett, to name a few, especially Sheamus. If anybody out there should be in that spot, it should be Sheamus. You know, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus had that spot at Money in the Bank, which Sheamus got injured. And that would have been a perfect way for Sheamus to come in last night and say, you know, you took all this time off my career. I was at home rehabbing while you're going straight to the top, and now you're the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and I want what's mine, and just completely just took him out. It could have really built on something of a personal issue between the two, and I think last night it's just lost opportunity. I mean, just not really digging it, man, at all. And from what I read on the WWE's Facebook page, a lot of other people don't like it either.
I think you make a good point with Sheamus. I do think Sheamus is probably going to turn heel at some point, and that could possibly even set up Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan definitely needs some new opponents. I think they're a little bit weak on the heel side right now on the WWE roster, so I would think ultimately turning Sheamus heel makes sense, and maybe that'll be the next pay-per-view. But I know you also want to talk about another reformation. Last night we saw the reformation of the old Kane, the masked Kane. And one thing that's not getting the type of reaction they would like is the return or the reformation of Evolution.
Right. Last week, you know, Evolution comes out and the familiar Motorhead, Line in the Sand music hits. And they came out to crickets. Nobody gave a damn. When they saw them. And I'm thinking last week when the music hits, like, okay, I'm like, whoa, I can't wait to see what kind of pop these guys get. You know, I was watching during the Evolution era. And, yeah, they didn't get nothing. And then last night it wasn't any better. And I think what it is that when you think about the groups, I mean, I hear JBL, you know, shilling. This is the problem that I have with JBL's commentary. Or whoever feeding them, Vince. You put over Evolution as the most dominant group ever in wrestling history, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a mighty big statement to say there. When you think about other factions ever in the business, you think about, you know, the Four Horsemen, or you think about, you know, the Dangerous Alliance. You think about the NWO or DX Corporation, Corporate Ministry. The list goes on and on about factions. So that's a huge statement to say there. And I think what it is that when you look back at this particular faction, and I think, you know, there could be two reasons why they're not getting the reaction that they thought. Is number one, a lot of fans don't perceive Evolution as being anything special. I mean, if you don't like Randy Orton and you don't like Batista individually, why are you going to give a damn about them being with Triple H if you don't like Triple H either? Why are you gonna care about these three reforming factions that you don't care about in the first place? And then number two, I think a lot of these fans, you know, Evolution broke up, you know, back in 2005. So that's almost 10 years ago. A lot of these fans a lot of fans that were probably watching then don't watch now. So you have a whole new audience that don't even know what Evolution was when they were around. So you have to deal with those issues there as well. But I just think that honestly, nobody cares. It's stale. And I think that another problem with the group, Steve, is that Triple H is on TV now too much. You know, as you said, it's part-time wrestler Batista, part-time wrestler Triple H. But Triple H is on TV now too much, just like he was on TV back in 2002 to whenever he lost the strap to Batista too much during his reign of terror. And people are saying that now.
I think that's well said. I definitely perceive the group as a short-term return, especially considering that Triple H is not going to come back on a full-time basis. We already are hearing that Batista is going to take a break after Extreme Rules. He's going to take some time off or network some shows. And so already, you know, right off the bat, it's a short-term group. It's not going to be a group that's going to be around for the long haul. And if that's the case, you know, why should I care about it? You know, it's not like it's going to, okay, it's going to have its program with the Shield, and then, you know, where do they go from there? Especially too, Frank, and we've talked about this before, there's not a lot of factions in wrestling.
No.
So if you want Evolution versus, okay, you could do Evolution versus, I guess right now you could probably do Evolution against the Shield and then Evolution against the Wyatt family if you want to do that. But then after that, there's really not much to feud with. At least until you start building up some other groups or factions. And typically they've not done a lot with factions. And then, of course, the obvious would be as well with Evolution. I know he's not your favorite wrestler, but people will recognize Evolution with Ric Flair. And right now Ric Flair is not around.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
I don't see the point of bringing it back if Evolution is going to be a short-lived group anyways.
Well, I don't see the point of bringing it back, period. In the group at all. I mean, at this point, what can Ric Flair do?
A manager type role, you know, on the outside. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to see him wrestle anymore.
I don't particularly want to see it. You know, it's just I got no respect for Flair whatsoever, because Flair just, you know, Flair has a big mouth where Flair says things that just makes you honestly want to slap the hell out of him. Just like, you know, telling Mick Foley. Right there when he's sitting there, oh, you stayed too long in the business. Dude, look who's talking. Really? And it's like this. At least Mick Foley was smarter to save his money. At least Mick Foley wasn't out there living the gimmick. You forgot. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you have the Bret Hart syndrome where you think it's real. You know, I never got beat all those times. You know, I mean, come on, dude, really?
To me, Frank, the timing just makes no sense. You were saying this before. If you're not a fan of Randy Orton and you're not a fan of Batista, and we certainly saw the backlash when they were announced to be the main event going into WrestleMania. Nobody wanted to see this match, and I think people are not real and thrilled about Batista's return. Randy Orton is very stale. Triple H is a part-time wrestler. I just think those elements, you add those together, it's not a group that people want to see. And like I said, I think it's short-lived. I think they do the program with the Shield, and then they probably disappear again.
Yeah. From what I understand, Vince is not really big on factions to begin with. And the thing about the factions in WWE right now is that they're all three-man groups. Three-man, you know, 3MB, three-man band. You got the Wyatt family, three members. Shield is three members. Evolution is three members. So that's why I really highly doubt that Ric Flair is going to be part of the group. Kind of seems like they were excluding Flair out of a lot of the video package I seen last night. I just don't see it working for the long term. People just don't want to see these guys. They don't want to see Randy Orton. They don't want to see Triple H. They don't want to see Batista. They definitely don't want to see them together.
Well, the argument would be too, Frank, and we've talked about this a lot too. Randy Orton, John Cena, they're very stale characters, right? So the people would say, hey, they put Randy Orton in Evolution. At least they're trying something different. But you know, just to me is. I just think the timing just doesn't make sense right now, especially with Batista. He came back, and his return really has meant nothing. I think a lot of people were resentful that he won the Royal Rumble. People wanted Daniel Bryan to get that spot. And I think Batista, we were talking about this offline. What is Batista? Batista is a watered-down version of the Ultimate Warrior slash Goldberg. I remember on the hotline days, I'd call him Batista-Berg.
Right.
He would remind me a lot of Bill Goldberg. And just the cheap versions, though, the weak versions of those two characters. And I don't think he's as big as a star as the WWE thinks, or maybe he thinks. You know, he had his run. And, again, you take away Undertaker matches from his portfolio, he doesn't have a lot to stand on, Frank. He's not a great wrestler.
No, he's not
a great character either.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, what is he?
Yeah.
He's not a charismatic character.
No.
So, I mean, what do you have? You have a very stale wrestler. The guy left. He wanted to go into mixed martial arts. He tried that. He's had a few movie roles. But to me, Frank, he's back because neither one's going making him a lot of money. So suddenly I go back to WWE. I can get some paychecks. I can go to WrestleMania. I'll get a couple payoffs here. He'll probably, you know, you were saying before they brought him back for a reason. We looked like it was for the championship, and maybe it still will be. But, you know, maybe they brought him back for Evolution, at least short term. And as I said before, too, he did sign a 2-year contract. But even when I said that, signed that 2-year contract, I didn't expect him to be a full time wrestler.
No, no.
For 2 years.
Not at all. The thing with Batista is, like you just said, I think that Batista thinks he's a big star. Batista thinks that when he was there the first time around, you know, it was like the boom period or something. That's when he, you know, that's what the comments he was like talking about these wannabes that think they're big stars, they're really not, in an era where there are no stars. Okay, I don't really see Batista as being like ratings gold. So I don't know what the deal is. It's just like having Evolution return. It doesn't mean nothing because we've already, it's kind of desperate. You know, you got nothing else for these guys to do. Let's put them back together in this group that has been around since 2005. And people will always say, well, look how many times we saw the NWO. Well, in reality, if you think about it, you see more of WWE rehashing their groups than you ever saw the NWO. I mean, look how many times we've seen DX come back. Look how many times, you know, anything to do with Triple H is a rehash, if you notice that. When something gets stale, and we dust something off from the past and bring it back. So at some point, I got to think that we might see a DX return probably in the summer. Who knows?
Oh, jeez.
Because if Batista's leaving after Extreme Rules, which is what the word is, what do you do then with Randy Orton? Randy Orton is the only full-time guy out of all three of them. So what do you do? And honestly, I don't know. Because Orton wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire when he was the world champion. So it's kind of like, you know, they say that line in the sand. Well, where does Randy Orton cross the line?
Well, you know, to me, Frank, if they're going to keep say they keep the title on Daniel Bryan at least until SummerSlam, you know, you do Kane now, maybe you do Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan for the championship. A couple of matches to think about as you go forward. To me, this leads me to believe that maybe Daniel Bryan's going to have the championship for a while because you certainly don't think he's going to lose to Kane.
No.
Even, you know, bringing him back with the mask, he's not gonna lose to Kane here. And, you know, I want to say real briefly here about Daniel Bryan. I got to give him a lot of props. I mean, the guy learns during the day that his father passes away. I believe his father is in his 50s, like 57, if I heard that right. So, you know, I send my condolences out to Daniel Bryan and his family. That's very difficult. And other whirlwinds of emotions going through here because, you know, we had the Ultimate Warrior situation. Ultimate Warrior passes away. And then a couple days later, he has his wedding. And now his dad is, you know, they get back from the honeymoon and his dad passes away. So I got to give Daniel Bryan some kudos last night, Frank. It had to be really tough for him to go out there. I mean, probably literally a couple hours after you find out your dad's passed away, suddenly you're on WWE Raw doing a new storyline with Kane. It's I give the guy a lot of credit. That's really hard to do.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of guy to go into a situation where you just learned that you lost your father, and you know you put up with it just for the moment, you know, of going to work and showing that I'm the champion, and then you get rolled off TV for a couple weeks. I can't imagine how that would feel. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't know how I would handle it.
And then especially if they put a camera in front of your face a couple hours later.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Go out there and perform. You know, that's difficult. As you said, not everybody can do that. And I got to give the guy kudos for being a professional and going out and getting the job done. And I will give WWE some credit now. It looks like they're going to, with the storyline they did last night, is going to write Daniel Bryan out. You probably won't see him until Extreme Rules, which I think is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, kudos on WWE for, I mean, this is going to be a very emotional week for Daniel Bryan. He's going to go home and make all the funeral arrangements, going to bury his father. And then I think the guy needs some time off, and you know, take away the house shows, and then we'll see him make Extreme Rules, and
yep.
Hopefully he'll be back on his feet again. But you know, we definitely here with the York Report like to send out our condolences to Daniel Bryan and his wife and his immediate family. That's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to talk about, Frank, with WWE pay-per-views, we found out that DirecTV is going to stop carrying the WWE pay-per-views. We're likely going to have Dish Network going to follow suit. You know, we're going to be in that situation we've talked about before. We don't call WWE pay-per-views because, I mean, quite frankly, they're not really available on pay-per-view. You still got the cable providers, I guess, at this point still. I believe Comcast and some of the other major cable companies are so far saying that they're going to carry the pay-per-views. But, you know, in the future, you got to think more and more will drop it. And then, you know, something we've discussed is where is the importance of pushing these pay-per-views, because they're not going to seem as important, because right now, in theory, they want satellite and cable providers, subscribers, I should say, to plunk down the money, the $50, the $60, whatever it's going to be to order these pay-per-views. But in the future, Frank, that's not going to be the case, because most of their subscribers will be WWE Network subscribers. You're going to have more of the cable and the satellite providers drop the pay-per-view. So you wonder, I mean, they're calling them basically special attractions now, or special events for the pay-per-views. You have to really wonder going forward, Frank, you know, how special will these quote-unquote pay-per-views really be going forward?
Well, here's the thing I think about with that goes. You know, I am aware of the satellite companies dropping the WWE pay-per-views and WWE basically changing them to special events. It's kind of like back in the day when WCW would kind of, you know, would run those Clash of Champions on TBS, something like that. The thing I think about it is that I think that WWE should continue to make emphasis on the paper, on all the special events, special attractions, because here's the deal. Lately, a lot of people have been finding the loopholes on how to get out of that six-month agreement with the WWE Network. And a lot of it has to do with technical. If you don't like the technical difficulties that you're receiving, you can get out of the contract. So there is a way to get out of that six-month hold that you think that you're in. So WWE has to continue to entice people to want to pay that $10 subscription a month and stay with them. So I think that, you know, I don't think as of yet we're going to see them, you know, not put as much emphasis and be like, okay, we got your money. They got to continue to offer you something, because when your 6 months is up, you're either going to stay or you're going to go. And if the pay-per-views, if the satellite companies are dropping these pay-per-views, WWE is going to be, you know, SOL as far as that revenue goes. And then on top of that, I'm kind of wondering as well if they're dropping the pay-per-views, and I'm just really kind of wondering where WWE is, how the structure is going to be to pay the talent, as far as all this stuff goes. I'm just really wondering that. They haven't really explained that.
I think the talent's wondering that too.
Yeah.
They've been waiting for this big meeting to be called where they explain how I would think now some of the talent must know, because I'm sure the WrestleMania checks will be coming in. So they'll have some idea how they're going to be compensated moving forward. But I definitely think, And I would agree with Frank, at least short term, I think the emphasis will still be promoting the pay-per-views or the special events. Because they have, what, 667,000 subscribers?
Right. And it's like,
the goal is to get to 2 million, and then next year they will expand into international markets. So
yeah.
At least right now, you want to build up these pay-per-views. But going forward, you know, once the cable companies are done carrying your pay-per-views and the satellite providers are done, and you are on the network, and most of the WWE fans are on the network, or that will be plunking down money to buy the shows, you know, in the future, I could even see them eliminating pay-per-views because you have so much content available, and what's the emphasis putting on these pay-per-views? People are not going to be plunking down $50 to see the show. I guess the only other thing would be is to attract the non-subscribers right now to the network. But I don't know. I just think going forward, maybe not immediately, but in the future, Frank, I could see them say, oh, you know, well, 12 pay-per-views, 12 special events. That's a lot. We got other things on the network. We got live NXT specials. We got main events live every week now on the network. How about in the future we go down to 6 pay-per-views?
Right.
And you still get a good value because if you figure what 6 pay-per-views would cost you a year, I mean, you still come out ahead for WWE Network subscription. Or the other thing would be something we talked about, I think, in the last podcast, is eventually they'll raise the price of the WWE Network.
Oh, there's no doubt they're going to do that. Yeah.
The question might be when. When do they do that? When do they pull the plug on that?
You know what? Probably February of next year. February will be about a year since the network would have launched. So I think we'll see a price increase here, and they're probably going to charge a big increase over in the other international markets as well. But
it could be.
I don't have a problem with that as long as they give us what we want.
Right.
And I don't know, but I actually sent a tweet out last night to Jimmy Hart just to see, hey, listen, man. Why are they dubbing so much of the music on there that you created in WCW? Just, you know, I want to know. I just want to have a response to that and answer the question. But, you know, Jimmy doesn't do anything for free, so I don't know if he's going to answer.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. he doesn't do anything for free. You know, if you want to do a 30-second video for him, if you want to do a 30-second video, that's going to cost you probably $3,000.
Yeah, show me the money.
Right. He's got to pay for those facelifts and Botox somewhere.
Yeah, because he's on the Legends show, right? The Legends House.
Right.
Which kind of ties into our next topic here, Frank, because they were definitely touting last night the WWE Network. And we've just found out what the top 10 shows for last week were on the WWE Network, which is interesting. The Legends House, the new reality series with legends of the past, was the most watched show last week on the WWE Network, which you might say, okay, you know, it debuted, that's fine. But, Frank, last week was Warrior Week.
Right.
And so we got the second most watched show last week was the replay of WrestleMania 30. Then you have at number 3, the Ultimate Warrior's Greatest Matches, followed by number 4, Warrior, the Ultimate Legend. So you're telling me that more people watch WWE Legends House than watch the probably one of the best produced documentaries they've ever done. People were raving about it for days. We did it on our podcast talking about you gotta, you know, plunk down or not even plunk down, get the free trial and at least watch this documentary. I know websites, social media blew up. So, you know, it's a must see. Don't go out of your way to see it. And yet, at the end of the day, Frank, that documentary on The Ultimate Warrior was the 4th. Most watched show on WWE Network last week?
I don't buy it. I don't buy
really?
It at all. I don't buy it at all because I keep up with the WWE Network's Facebook page daily because I want to see, you know, what people are watching and what people are complaining about. So it gives you an idea when we come up here to do the podcast what to talk about. So, yeah, I don't buy their numbers at all. Just like they'll say, last week SmackDown was the number one rating show. SmackDown sucks. I don't see how it was number one. But that documentary that they have on there, on the network, is probably the greatest production they ever did as far as documentaries and biographies go. That's just excellent. So how that's number four in Legends House was one. And Legends House was a fluff about cabbage rolls and going around meeting the neighbors, and it looked so scripted. I don't know.
The other thought, too, is are they cooking the numbers purposely so that maybe they say, hey, the Legends House, that's the most watched show.
To sell and it maybe to a network, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that maybe they could sell it to a network.
Yeah, that did cross my mind, but, I mean, they want this to succeed because they're talking about putting Hogan in the house next year or next season. So they want their show to succeed. The problem with it is that, you know, they shut this show around about 2 years ago, and no network wanted it.
And yet they wanted Total Divas. I don't get that.
Right. And Total Divas is a piece of crap. I watched it in the beginning.
A total work.
Yeah, total work. Everything other is a work.
As Rikishi would say, right?
Right. Rikishi said it. You know, Big Keish said it best. You know, they had him do an angle where he didn't show up to his son's wedding, supposedly.
And yet people watch this show.
Right.
Well, actually, more people watch it than TNA, which we talked about before, and we'll get into that in just a minute here. But, you know, sticking with the network here, Frank, I believe something that's going to debut tonight when we talk about new content, we talked about the Legends House, is that they're going to have the best of the WWE Hall of Fame, which I think is a very good idea. So I think that's going to premiere tonight. So you will get some additional content. And I think they need to have this additional content as they market it, the network, too. Because I think, you know, it's been out there for, two months now that you could get the network for $9.99. And yet, if people have not plunked down the money, they say, okay, what can we do to entice these people? We got the Legends House, and now all of a sudden we got a new series called, you know, the Best of the WWE Hall of Fame, which I'm kind of looking forward to, Frank. I think this is a really good idea.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I'm not really digging it. And I'm not digging it because I thought there would be more stuff on it than what's on it right now. I mean, WWE, you know, advertised a whole lot more content on there than they have. And for myself, I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but I'm sick and tired of watching the pay-per-views. So there has to be extra stuff on there. Then you have the Beyond the Rings. Well, I buy the DVDs.
Right.
So that doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything for me. And then the ones I don't have, they're already on Netflix. So that doesn't do anything for me. I'm the type of guy where, hey, you know what? The Hall of Fame, yeah, that's cool. But where is the Clash of Champions? You know, where is Saturday Night's Main Event? Where are WWF Superstars or Wrestling Challenge? WWE Saturday Night, Primetime Wrestling. Tuesday Night Titans. You know, where is WCW Thunder, WCW Nitro,
Fuji Vice.
Yeah, where are these different? Where, you know, they can even show the Bobby the Brain Heenan show.
I was going to say it's short lived, but yeah. I'd like to see those shows again for sure.
Where are all the Coliseum video releases from back in the day? I don't.
Well, they probably have issues with the music on those, I suppose.
Well, a lot of music on those Coliseum video releases were done in-house by Hart and Johnson, so I don't really think it's going to have a problem.
Well, then show them. Like you said, yeah, let's add it then.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, hell, if I was over there, it would be added.
You know, the thing too, Frank, and you said Netflix, and then there was a comment last night by my favorite announcer of all time, Michael Cole, who probably was fed the line, but he said last night that, you know, the WWE Network is better than Netflix. You know, Netflix is kind of the king when it comes to online content providing, and WWE Network's got a lot of things to work out, including something I've talked about before with, you know, things not available on my Roku, which everything on my Roku that's not there is available on the WWE website, where if I'm on my Roku and I'm watching Netflix, it's the same thing if I'm watching it on my TV, or if I'm watching it on my phone, or if I'm watching it on my computer. So that's a pretty bold statement to say last night, Frank, that the WWE Network is better than Netflix.
Well, number one, no, you're not. First of all, Netflix has something called a queue, where if I'm watching, say, the Bates Motel, I can add the Bates Motel to my queue, And if I want to watch, say, the Wonder Years, I can have the Wonder Years to my queue. So when I start up my Netflix, I can go right to the Basement Hotel, right to the Wonder Years. You can't do that on the network. And then another thing I have a problem with the network that I don't like is that every damn video you watch, you got to have the rating before it starts. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm watching, like, if I go back to a show that I was just watching, like, 2 minutes ago, and then I accidentally stopped it, and then it starts up again, it'll play that song, and it'll play TV, you know, AMA or TV PG or whatever it is, and that's annoying to me, because you don't have that on Netflix.
True.
So that,
I've noticed that myself, yes.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's all, well, this video, you know, doesn't fit with WWE's corporate views, or whatever. Who the hell cares? It's like society is so sensitive now. We gotta save the children. Children shouldn't watch wrestling. If that's how it has to be. I mean, people are talking about now. My God, I remember back in the day, man, during the Attitude Era, I would see little 9-year-old kids wearing that Stone Cold Steve Austin T-shirt that said "Other Side Jackass" on it.
Right.
9-year-old kids at school telling teachers to suck it. You know,
kids going around giving other kids stunners.
Exactly, stunners and rock bottoms and laying a smackdown. Trust me, I remember my brother laying a smackdown on some kid at the park doing the old rock thing. I mean, literally went back on one or two and then spit in his hand and knocked the kid out. I was like, whoa, you need to not watch the show. So it's just crazy where we've come, man. It's like everybody's so sensitive now. Everybody's a bunch of wussies. I'm being family friendly with that statement there, but you know exactly what I mean.
Exactly. I mean, they have to plug the network, but to make that comparison to Netflix right now, when they have all the glitches, I mean, you were just saying,
yeah.
You were just saying, you can get out of your 6-month commitment if you're not happy with the glitches.
Exactly. I mean,
Netflix doesn't have all these glitches.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any glitches on my end, but I read about people who do. I never have a glitch on Netflix. Never, ever, ever. The only problem I have with Netflix is like, damn, what happened to King and Hill?
Yeah, the thing with Netflix is they have contracts with certain groups, and then eventually the content could disappear.
Right.
Which is a drawback of Netflix.
Right.
Because they're in competition with Hulu, and they're in competition with what the Amazon's subscription service. So, you know, they're all bidding on their, and plus some of them are now starting their own series as well. So, but I think that's a pretty bold statement to say that we're better than Netflix when Netflix has been around for a long time. I remember Netflix would send you the DVDs in the mail before it was the online service. So, I mean, WWE's network's only been running for a couple of months, and to already say that we're better than Netflix.
I don't believe
I guess
that.
I guess it's wrestling, Frank. I guess they can say whatever they want. But.
Right, but here's the deal, though. You're up there saying you're better than Netflix, but yet you have a lot of content on Netflix.
A lot of hours.
Yeah, a lot of DVDs on Netflix that you have on there. So, I don't know. I mean, Vince was like, hey, Cole, tell them that we're better than Netflix.
Oh, jeez.
I get it, man.
And they're legends in their own mind already with the WWE network.
Well, that's how WWE is. I mean, WWE is the 800-pound gorilla, as they say in sports entertainment business. That's fine. But Netflix is the 800-pound gorilla of the streaming service. That Netflix is the king. I mean, they got Cesaro out there, the king of streaming. Well, Netflix is the king of stream.
And can I say one thing that's off topic, but it's also kind of bothering me with WWE right now.
Yeah.
Why are we doing a tournament to crown a number one contender to a title that doesn't mean anything?
Because you got nothing else to do, baby.
You got to fill 3 hours.
That's
I
right.
Guess.
That's right.
I mean, does anybody care about this tournament that's going on? I mean, it's for a title. You remember, Frank, and I know I'll date myself, but I remember back in the day, Frank, when you were the number one contender, that meant something. And now you're going to be the number one. Whoever wins the tournament is the number one contender for a title that didn't even get on the WrestleMania show.
Well, you know, they have that battle royal. that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which was, I could care less about that. They could have had the Intercontinental Championship defended. They could have had the U.S. title defended. I mean, geez, does anybody even realize that Dean Ambrose is still U.S. champ? That's how long the guys defended the championship.
I think he's got the record record title holder.
I believe he is, yeah. I believe
yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
And that's just for not defending it. He's holding on to the belt.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, man. I just, you know, I just really think that Biggie Langston was a lot more over when he was down in NXT than he has been since he came up to the main roster. I think the problem was that they brought him up. He was a heel with Dolph Ziggler, and I think that really killed his momentum, any momentum he could have started. And just overall, I just think that he would be better off without that belt. That belt is now a curse. It's a curse of, you're the IC champion, you're not getting over.
You're doing nothing for the title, and the title's doing nothing for you.
Exactly.
So, well, Frank, while we're still talking about WWE, I want to get into a comment, and we're getting some more comments. The listeners out there are voicing their opinions, and we got a email I received from Richard. He said, I listened to your Warrior podcast, and it was great. I have a theory that CM Punk is today's version of Warrior. The only difference is that Punk did not stay around for the paydays or the payoffs left in his contract. So I guess the thought would be that CM Punk leaves in his prime, such as what the Ultimate Warrior did, but I know we were talking about this offline. Warrior certainly made a bigger impact on the industry than CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, anybody who's been listening to this podcast knows I'm very, very critical on CM Punk. I'm just not a fan. Now, I will say this in Punk's defense. Nobody knows about CM Punk left other than CM Punk himself. Nobody knows. I will say that there were rumors going around that he was burnt out. There were rumors going around that he wasn't happy because he had to wrestle trips at WrestleMania. And that could very well be true because if you guys remember back in 2011, it was supposed to have been Nash versus Punk. And that got changed to Triple H versus Punk, and Triple H beat Punk. And they never had another match after that. There was no rematch. So Punk never got his heat back. So I suspected that he thought, well, by wrestling him again, I'm going to get jobbed out. And Punk felt that he was above that. He wanted to be the main event. He had been WWE champion for 434 days, which is a record to hold that championship up. So I can see that as far as with Warrior goes, I don't really see that personally. You know, but like the guy said here, Richard said, you know, if Punk left in his prime and didn't get the paydays. Yeah, whatever situation is with CM Punk, it obviously wasn't about money. Because if it was about money, he would have been on Mania. So I don't know what it is, but I will say that Punk, you know, in my opinion, didn't make the impact Warrior did. Warrior was around, and Warrior was doing had a look, he was doing stuff that other people weren't doing. That's the difference between the two. You look at Punk, and people compare Punk to Stone Cold Steve Austin, so Punk necessarily was doing something that's already been done.
And I think we both agree that CM Punk's going to be back at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I guess the difference, too, would be, and as you said, we don't know why CM Punk left. And we may never know the exact reason, but we do know why the Warrior left, and a lot of it was, as you said, you know, a dispute over money. When they even brought up on the documentary that, you know, one time Bobby Heenan says the Ultimate Warrior, you know, you're selling more shirts than Hulk Hogan right now.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, why am I not getting paid like Hulk Hogan then?
Right.
So I think it's an interesting comparison in that they both, you know, left the company at, you know, when they were in their primes, when they were still young, that they still had many years left in the business. But I just think the impact, and you know, maybe people will disagree with us, but I just think the impact the Ultimate Warrior had on the business versus what CM Punk, and CM Punk was a good champion, he had a good reign, but to me, they're really hard to compare. I just think Ultimate Warrior was such a huge star And CM Punk is a star in today's wrestling, but I think that's kind of where the difference is right there.
Well, here's the thing about it, too. The other difference is that you got to look at the players that the Warrior wrestled as opposed to CM Punk. Warrior wrestled Hogan at WrestleMania 6 in the main event and beat him at a point where Hulk Hogan had never been beaten at WrestleMania. So and Hogan lost clean in that match.
Right.
Warrior worked with Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, Warrior worked with Randy Savage. There's nobody today that is on that level at all. Not Cena, not Orton. Nowhere near it. So that's where you draw the line right there. Period. It's just, you know, it's just a class you work with. And Punk, for me to sit up here and say that Punk wasn't a good champion or not a future Hall of Famer, I'd be an idiot to say that. Because obviously the guy will eventually one day be in Hall of Fame, and he is he was a good champion when he was there. I just like the fact that the guy was full of himself and he disappointed his fans by walking out. You know, it's
and
like
yet the fans still chant CM Punk.
The fans
it's hard
still
to figure
chant CM Punk. You know, I don't understand that myself.
Well, I guess maybe somebody could argue that, you know, you're an Ultimate Warrior fan and you know, you're critical of CM Punk because he left, and they could say, well, Ultimate Warrior left his fans too.
Well, but not really, because Warrior left because of disciplinary reasons. That was the problem. Warrior left because what? Warrior supposedly held Vince up for money, and Vince, you know, suspended him, and Warrior didn't come back until WrestleMania 8, from SummerSlam 91 all the way into WrestleMania 8, so Warrior was gone. That wasn't Warrior's doing. That was Vince McMahon.
Yeah, Vince McMahon creates the self-destruction DVD.
Right. Saying the complete opposite. And now, but on the documentary, he admits it. So it's not the same thing. And you would see signs of people saying bring back the Warrior. People wonder where Warrior was, but you didn't hear people like now chanting CM Punk.
And one name you brought up as you were talking about the opponents of the Ultimate Warrior was Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And I just saw the other day, it's been 15 years since Ravishing Rude passed away. And it's hard to believe, Frank. It seems like it was just yesterday he was on Raw and Nitro on the same night and had that great run. And, you know, I remember the feud with Jake the Snake Roberts where Cheryl Roberts got involved and the great runs that he had with the Ultimate Warrior. I remember Rick Rude, you know, back to the World Class Championship Wrestling days. And, you know, if people want to hear us do a podcast, say, just on Rick Rude, because I think some people, you know, really enjoyed the Ultimate Warrior, and it was timely because, you know, the guy had just passed. But, you know, so many of these anniversaries come and go. You know, Mr. Perfect was just not too long ago, his passing. And we just had Rick Rude. 15 years since Rick Rude has been gone. It's just amazing how these anniversaries kind of creep up on you, and you look back and you're like, man, it's been 15 years since we've seen Ravishing Rick Rude. And the guy was in tremendous shape at that time, getting back into ring shape, wanted to have another run, and just think that, you know, we missed out. He could have had another great run, and it's disappointing, but I just want to acknowledge that today. You know, it's been 15 years. I think it was April the 20th was the anniversary of his passing. So,
yeah.
You know, rest in peace, Ravishing Rick Rude, one of the greatest heels. And again, Frank, as another name, how was that guy not in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. That guy, you know, it's funny because, like I sent you in the text message, me and my brother actually were talking about Rick Rude every day. And we were actually talking about physiques, you know. And, you know, Rude had a very nice physique. Rude was a total package. Yeah. Back in that time, Rude was a hell of a worker. And once again, Rude was doing something. Rude had a look that nobody else was doing. You know?
And the entrance with Bobby Heenan was so classic.
Absolutely, Cut the music and, you know, just...
keep the noise down.
Keep the noise down. I want to take my robe off and show you ladies what a real sexy man looks like. And, you know, hit the music and we call the fans, you know. Like, I remember one time it was the match at SummerSlam 90 when, they showed Rude out there doing his entrance. And he was like, when I like to have right now... is for all you fat, out of shape Pennsylvania pissants. And it showed this this real ugly guy in the crowd when he said this. And it was just it's funny as hell to this day. And that was the SummerSlam 90 match he had with the Warrior, which I thought that SummerSlam 90 cage match between Warrior and Rude, that's one of the best cage matches I've ever seen. That was a damn good match. And a lot of that too was for a lot of it was just the chemistry that Warrior and Rude had together. Very, very good. Very, very good stuff there. So how come he's not in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, man. But you know what? At least Toko's there. We'll probably see Toko on the network.
Well, I will say, you know, toot my own horn here. He is in the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So you know, we definitely give him his props. And you know, when I think anybody discusses like favorite heels or some of the best heels of all time, Rick Rude's name always pops in my brain. Yeah. I mean, the guy could just get heat. And as you're talking about these promos where he's, you know, keep the noise down while I take my robes off, and man, he would just get such huge heel heat at that time. And you know, you would laugh as a guy, you know, when he's talking about all these fat women, and
yeah.
It just was what a classic character. And hopefully next year they put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they're having this new Hall of Fame show. I don't know how you have any Hall of Fame without Rick Rude.
Well, you know
what?
Rick was
just tremendous.
Rick, you know, there's a couple of guys, man, that should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Rude, Boss Man. You know, people can say, oh, well, how's the Boss? Boss Man's a Hall of Famer. Boss Man had a hell of a run. You know,
Well, Boss Man is more of a star than Coco Beware.
Exactly.
I mean, I know we always pick on Coco, but I mean, if you're going to say Coco Beware is in, and you say, well, Boss Man had a better run than Coco Beware ever had.
Yep.
So, and who was the other guy you were going to say?
I was going to say that, you know, Boss Man was one guy. You eventually, I don't know, you eventually have got to come to some type of a situation where you got to add in Davey Boy Smith.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, Davey Boy Smith, yes, in some capacity. Well, if he's on his own or if he's part of the British Bulldogs, or I mean, absolutely.
Yep, he has to
be. Yep, and then we could talk about it too, is Owen Hart. So, I mean, I saw Smith Hart predict that next year the Hart Foundation would go in the Hall of Fame, and maybe that's the way you get those two names in there.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not a big fan of factions getting in, because I just think it doesn't put the spotlight on the individuals. And especially in that group, Owen Hart was tremendous. Davey Boy Smith was tremendous. I guess that would probably incorporate Brian Pillman as well. Maybe that's the way they get Brian Pillman in as well. But I just want to say, you know, Rick Rude was just tremendous. And if you'd love to hear us do a podcast on just Rick Rude, I think we could easily talk 60 minutes about Rick Rude.
Oh, absolutely. And then you think about other guys that do you think that they're going to be Hall of Famers just on the stuff they've done? Eventually, at some point, you got to put gold dust. Dustin Rhodes in there.
Yes,
you got to put him in there at some point. And I believe you got to put in you got to put Shane Douglas in there at some point.
I would, yeah, definitely. Revolutionary title run, threw down the NWA championship and created ECW. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to throw him in.
Great, he was a great ECW champion. He was a great wrestler in WCW as well.
Yeah, and I don't like this guy.
I mean, hell had his run as Dean Douglas. So,
right.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care for this guy, but you got to put Taz in the Hall of Fame at one point. I mean, Taz had the hell. Taz was the human suplex machine in ECW, and you know, Taz had a hell of a run there. Taz was the man.
If you can survive, if I let you.
Exactly. You know, before he was a fat little snotty shriveled up announcer.
Just don't make me listen to him on commentary or his new radio show that he's doing.
Right.
I don't want to hear the Taz podcast. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you know, you got to put him in there. You know, at some point, man, it's like the guys that need to go in, you put them in.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of TNA, Frank, we're going to transition to Total Nonstop Action Wrestling or Impact Wrestling, because this actually ties into a topic that you and I had been talking about,
yeah.
And actually, it ties into Ravon's comments.
Okay.
And let's get into Ravon here. He says, hi, Steve. This is Ravon Adamson. Just wanted to give you and Frank D a weekly shout-out and say keep up the great work. I still listen to your podcast every week. I like it when Frank D says that TNA sucks because it does. It's a dead brand, and it's the home of WWE rejects. you know, this ties into a comment we had from a different listener,
right,
that said TNA has a core audience that no matter who's on the show, people are going to watch.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the ratings come in last week, Frank, and it's, what, about a 0.85,
yep,
if you want to round it up, give them the benefit of the doubt, a 0.85, which was the lowest rating of this year. And, you know, this comes at a very bad time, Frank, because this is the time when they're trying to get a renewal from Spike TV. So you have to really wonder if that core audience is still there.
Well, it's funny because last week we were just talking about this very same subject. And, no, the audience isn't there. Your core audience for TNA isn't there. It hasn't been there for years. You know, go back to when TNA first started back in 2002 in Huntsville, Alabama, when they were NWA TNA, that very first pay-per-view. Go through all the Wednesday pay-per-views up to the point where TNA was on Fox Sports Net at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, up to the point where they got on Spike. That was your hardcore TNA fanatics. Your hardcore TNA fanatics were there until the moment Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff arrived and then they left. Okay, your hardcore TNA fanatics were there. The crew that would, the core audience that would watch AMA, they were there until the moment that TNA got rid of that six-sided ring and then they left. It never came back. So that's what TNA had its identity. TNA's identity was the X Division. As a matter of fact, if you remember back in the day, TNA had so much emphasis on the X Division, the World Championship was secondary to TNA, which was never, never even heard of in a wrestling.
The work rate title.
Exactly. That's what you want to talk about. It was a work rate company. That's what it was, a work rate company. When you had the X Division out there talking about, you know, the Amazing Red and the Triple X, you know, Low Key, Christopher Daniels, Eric Skipper. You know, Chris Sabin, back before he blew out both knees. You know, Alex Shelley, Matt Bentley. All these different guys were out there wrestling for the X Division Championship. You know, so the core audience of TNA is gone. TNA sucks. It's a dead brand. It's a done deal. It's finished. I'm sorry. Nobody is going to buy Eric Young. It's nothing to do with Eric Young. But it's like Eric Young becoming world champion in TNA. It's like Vince McMahon going crazy and putting the championship on Santino Marella. It's not going to work, man. Nobody's going to go for it.
And, you know, Frank,
yeah.
Well, as soon as I saw that rating, I know my first thought was they're going to blame this on Eric Young.
Right.
And you can't blame this on Eric Young. You couldn't blame, as bad as Magnus was as a world champion, I don't think you can blame the rating on him. I was thinking about the other day, who would you give the belt to? I mean, the belt means nothing.
Nope.
So, you know, maybe give it to Kurt Angle. He gets a little prestige to the championship and have somebody chase him for the championship. Something like that. But I just think, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, man. You know what? It's done. I was watching TNA when Steve wasn't. And I would tell Steve everything that was going on Impact. And I've watched a lot of crap on TNA from the Jeff Jarrett Reign of Terror in TNA to all the WWE jabroni rejects like Billy Gunn and Scott Steiner and all these different dudes coming over to TNA and Rhino and all these guys to Lance Hoitermania going, you know, running wild to Kid Cash to, you know, What they have going on there, you know, Vince Russo and, you know, SCX Group, Sports Entertainment Extreme, up until, you know, all of a sudden they did on Fox Sports Net with the very first, you know, specials they were doing on Spike TV when Team 3D first came over. Kevin Nash feuding with Jared, and the King is a wrestler. You know, Macho Man Randy Savage showing up there at the very first 3-hour show, Victory Road. I've watched a lot of crap in TNA, and to the point where when you get me not to watch your show anymore, your show must really suck. And it really sucks. And it really started to suck at the when I stopped watching was at the end of Aces and Apes. When it really started to really, you could really see the cracks going down there. I personally knew that TNA was a dead brand when I went and saw them in Las Vegas. When they did those Impact tapers out there last July. That's why I knew TNA was in a lot of trouble. They couldn't even fill up a casino in Las Vegas. So that shows you right there when they talk, oh, we got to move Impact here, move Impact there. Nope. You need to stay right where you are. And I'm talking about right where you are. I'm talking about you need to go make a deal with some of these junior high schools and high school gymnasiums, and that's where you need to produce your TV show out of. Because you're going to draw more than that. The show sucks. The talent you have, eventually they're going to end up working for Jeff Jarrett anyways, so it doesn't really matter about your world title. You can put that world title on Dixon Carter tomorrow, and nobody would give a damn.
Oh, gosh. With Vince Russo there, don't give him any ideas.
Right.
Dixie Carter could be the champion tomorrow.
So. Right. You go back to this guy.
I don't know. Maybe Vince Russo needs another run as champion.
Hey, you know what?
World champion.
You know what? I just saw Rick. You know, I was watching the network this morning, and I just saw, you know, Slammery 2000 and saw Russo out there beating down Ric Flair. So, you know, Russo, he's a hell of an entertainer. I'll give him that.
This whole concept of these taped pay-per-views, you know, they are going to do more live shows, at least they're scheduled to. We'll find out maybe eventually where Bound for Glory is going to be. But, you know, they're going backwards, I think, with these pay-per-views. They're taped pay-per-views. I know they're very cheap to produce, and they can tape two or three of them at a time and then, you know, save them for later dates. And even the concept of using some of the previous stars to come back and then they build up World Cups and former wrestlers coming back and things of that nature is interesting, but it's just not going to sell. And to me, they're just kind of going in circles with TNA right now. I mean, they're hovered at that 0.8 to 1.1 range. They go in circles. Now, this week they could do a 1.0 and people say, hey, you know, they got a 1.0, Frank. They're moving right up. And they just go in a circle. They're just going nowhere. As you said, you know, it's a dead brand. And, you know, Ravon likes your little rants on TNA. And he actually left us some other questions that one I haven't even asked Frank about. I wanted to get his honest reaction to it. And so let me answer his second question first because it deals with the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He wants to see if Brian Pillman could be a candidate for the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. And he actually was on the ballot in October of 2011, and he got 66%. So he got very, very close. So if you'd want to see Brian Pillman get on the ballot again for another run, well, it's really up to the fans. 66% is very, very close. So if you'd like to see Pillman get a second chance, we just saw, you know, actually we're seeing right now with Scott Hall, his second chance. You know, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame, which is great.
Right.
Maybe the second time around, Brian Pillman gets in. Triple H took two times to get into my Hall of Fame. So perhaps, you know, second time around, Brian Pillman. Again, it's up to you, the readers out there, the listeners, the callers. Actually, not the callers anymore. That's the old Gerwick Report. But, boy, old habits die hard.
Right.
But, if you email me at hallofame@gerwick.net. Let me know if you want Brian Pillman on the ballot. We're getting a lot of suggestions for the Ultimate Warrior, and the first time around, he only got 47%. So it'll be real interesting to see if he gets on the ballot again, and then if he does, I think he'll do a lot better than 47% the second time around, especially with all the documentaries and all the love for Ultimate Warrior at this time.
Yeah.
But Frank, the second question is something I want to address you, your way.
Yeah.
It says, if the WWE Invasion storyline would have had top WCW stars, do you think it would have been booked better? And do you think the storyline would have lasted beyond Survivor Series 2001?
Ooh, that's a very, very good question. One that we've talked about that one a lot.
Yeah.
The Invasion. My main problem with the Invasion back in the day was the fact that Vince did not get the big stars from WCW. A lot of these guys were under contract to AOL, Time Warner at the time, and they were making a lot of money. They were making over $1 million salaries. So Vince McMahon felt that he could not afford. That's the line he always uses. I don't have their money. I couldn't afford those talents. But if he would have gotten the Kevin Nashes and the Bill Goldbergs and Ric Flair and all these other guys, would they have lasted? I think that the buzz would have been there. But no, I think McMahon would have buried those talents because the WWF talent is always going to be superior to WCW. So, yeah, it would have probably went into that WrestleMania 18, and that would have been the end of it. They would have branched off into something else. But Vince would have found a way to bury those talents. Absolutely. I mean, look at the track record of everybody who came from WCW to WWE. You had Scott Steiner come over there. What did they do with Steiner? And a lot of that was Steiner's problem. You know, Steiner for some reason, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, the guy is a college graduate, but he can't talk at all. I respect Steiner, inventor of the Frankensteiner, but got buried at the hands of Triple H during the Reign of Terror. They bring in Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg got buried during Triple H's Reign of Terror. So the track record, what I'm saying, is right there. Booker T got buried Triple H's Reign of Terror. I mean, Triple H made the comment, you were WCW champion. Yeah, you were champion. You championship that place right to the ground. So, do I think it would have happened past Survivor Series? Yeah. But WrestleMania that year, you probably would have saw some of the top matches. You probably would have seen Goldberg versus Austin. And it would have been cool. But Vince always finds a way to bury WCW. That's what they do. So, that's what would have happened there.
I think it definitely would have went past Survivor Series 2001 if they would have had some of the names you were mentioning, you know, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, and some of those guys. But I agree with Frank's assessment. In the end, he was going to kill WCW.
Yep.
I think he wanted to keep WCW as a separate brand originally. Remember, they had the last Nitro with Vince McMahon, and then Shane McMahon was going to be ahead of the WCW, and they were talking about maybe making WCW a Saturday night show or putting it in a different time slot. And once he couldn't get it on another network or he couldn't keep it as a separate brand, then it's like, okay, then I'm going to put it on my TV show and I'm going to kill it. And I do think – this is a really good question because we've been talking about the Invasion angle how many times now. But they could have kept it going longer for sure. And it booked correctly, Frank. They could have done that for years. That could have been the new NWO angle.
I don't think
so. WCW, you don't think to that level?
No, I don't think so. Because you got to remember something. When WCW went under, when they went out of business, I think the last rating WCW did, what was that rating? Wait, what was it, 2.9 or something like that?
3.0,
something like that, yeah. So a lot of WCW's audience was gone by the time of the last Nitro. And then those fans that stuck around during the Invasion time, they didn't like what they saw, so they left wrestling, period.
Well, here's the thing. If they did it correctly and they let WCW win sometimes, then maybe some of that WCW audience would have came back.
No, I don't think so. That's two separate brands. WCW is way separate than WWF. A lot of differences there. WCW was more of the Southern wrestling company, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And WWE has always been the big company from New York. So I don't think so. Those fans weren't going to watch either way it goes. Once WCW went out, they were done. And they definitely were done when they saw that WCW was going to get buried. But I've always heard that changed Vince McMahon's mind about WCW was that match they had on Raw with Booker T and Buff Bagwell.
Right, I do remember that.
And when you put a piece of crap out there like Marcus Bagwell, who was nothing more but a Chippendales dancer, stripper, who comes over and pretty much gets carried by Too Cold Scorpio in WCW, And then when he comes on his own, he's Buff Bagwell, which I think is pretty much one of the lamest names I ever heard of. That right there shows you, right? Why would you book this guy against Booker T? When Buff Bagwell wasn't going to do anything, they were out there, they stuck up the joint, pretty much. And, you know, some people say, well, why didn't Vince wait till the next week when WWE was going to be in Atlanta? And that was WCW's territory. Well, like I said, it's not the same. It doesn't matter. If Vince bought WCW the name, and WCW, you know, the video library and all that stuff, but it wasn't really WCW anymore. It was those guys out there wrestling in a WWF ring with WCW aprons around. That's all it was. It's not the same. So those people are like, oh, we're going to have this big old crossover situation. Nope, the big crossover situation would have been is at the time when WCW was still its own separate entity, owned by Time Warner, hey, WWE, let's make a deal. Let's do something. Let's do business. Let's actually have the super card of wrestling. Let's have our guys versus your guys. Now, that would have worked. The only problem would have been is, well, who's going to job to who? Is that what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So that would have been a problem right there. Because Vince is going to say, well, where are we going to do it at? Are we going to do it at WrestleMania? Well, damn it, Stone Cold's not laying down for Hogan. Or The Rock is not going to lay down for Sting or whoever it would have been. So that's where you would have got the politics of the wrestling.
Then, of course, too, you had to tie it in with Stephanie McMahon and the ECW brand as well.
Yeah, and while we're on that right quick, let me tell you another reason why the invasion angle sucked, okay, why it sucked ass. That right there, what you just said. Why is Stephanie McMahon the owner of ECW when you have Paul Heyman there?
Because Shane owned WCW. They'd have Stephanie.
Right. Shane McMahon owns WCW. Is just as legitimate as Frank D owning Pizza Hut. Are you serious? Come on now. That right there was a joke. That right there, when I saw that night, that was like, okay, this is done. You could easily got Bischoff to come out there and really have the on screen, you know, drama between all three of these guys. That's what you could have had there. But no, they wouldn't do it their way. It always has to be the big man and his kids. So you get what you get. And that's the reason why the wrestling business sucks today. Because of all the stuff that happened all the way back in 2001. But you know what? It doesn't really matter anyways, because the wrestling bubble died in 2000. My opinion.
That's probably true. And obviously 2001 was a leap backwards because you lost WCW and you lost independent ECW. Yeah. And
independent, not to see. They were getting money from WWE.
Yeah. But I do think they could have they could have prolonged the invasion angle, but again, in the final equation, they were going to kill WCW either way.
600,000 buys is what invasion got that year, that wow. pay-per-view. They got 600,000 buys. So obviously, the interest was there. But if you remember, as soon as invasion was over, and Stone Cold joins the Alliance, everything fell down from there.
That's why I say I think you could have got some WCW audience back. I mean, look at that strong number for that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
If you would have kept WCW strong for a while, but they weren't going to do that. But, you know, to Ravon's question here, if they had some of those major players, you know, maybe they would have went a different direction. But, again, it comes down to Vince didn't want to plunk down the money for it.
Yeah. He wanted to plunk down. So. And a lot of these guys, they showed up, you know, a year later, 2 years later, when it was already done.
Right.
You know, I mean, they brought in, remember, you know, November of 2001, the invasion angle ended, and in February of 2002, they brought back NWO. Well, that didn't last long. You know, once again, trying to reach out to, I think they were trying to reach out to that WCW audience, you know, from the NWO angle, and they were gone.
They were gone. They've never come back.
Oh, I mean, they're trying to entice them now. Hey, WCW audience, we put out WCW DVDs, the best of you know, Clash Champions, our War Games, our we got the network, got all the WCW pay per views on there. They're trying to entice these people back, trying to get the ECW fan base back. Like, oh, man, you screwed over the ECW fan base with that ECW World Sci-Fi TV show. That's the one thing. That I tell you right there, too, back to Revival, what Revival was saying, that I tell you where WWE, what they really think about WCW. There's been no WCW TV show. You know, that's just it. They thought more about ECW until they killed that. You know, Vince, you know, had his vision of ECW, what it was. It was a piece of crap. With the damn zombies out there, and, you know, the big show, the big slow as your champion. I mean, come on, man.
Yep, and then the final topic we wanted to discuss today, Frank, and this is kind of, you're talking about two different promotions and their talent, is Jeff Jarrett has been creating these graphics that's been posted on his page, his Twitter page, on the Global Force Wrestling page. I've seen them on Twitter and Facebook, where it's a picture of Jeff Jarrett and some other talent. Sometimes it's Jeff Jarrett, Karen Jarrett, and, say, the Beautiful People, or Jeff and Karen Jarrett with Brooke Tessemacher, Miss Tessemacher. We saw pictures with Bad Influence. I guess, you know, Bad Influence is now gone from TNA. But the problem is, Frank, is these graphics say Join the Force, which I guess is going to be their moniker, or their the way they're going to promote their new company is, you know, Join the Force.
Like Cross the Line.
Yeah. So I kind of like that, you know, Join the Force. It kind of reminds me of Star Wars a little bit, you know, the Force. But the problem I'm having from, I guess would be TNA's perspective, is some of the graphics contain photos of current under contract TNA wrestlers, such as the Beautiful People. We've seen, as I said, Miss Tessemacher, I believe, is still with TNA. Now, Bad Influence looks like they're gone from the company. But, and I remember saying this to you when I first saw it, is how can TNA allow, say, the Beautiful People, who's on their show, be on a graphic where it says Join the Force, and then it says GlobalForceWrestling.com. And apparently TNA has told talent, you know, don't do that. And I'm like, you know, my thought would be, well, I'm sure it's Jeff Jarrett doing that. I'm sure they didn't openly give their permission to be a part of the graphic. I just think Jeff is going out and he's taking pictures of, you know, Jeff is out doing independent shows and he's running into all these talents and, hey, let's take a picture. And then suddenly all these pictures are showing up with the logo or the Twitter handle for Join the Force with Global Force Wrestling below it. And now we're finally seeing TNA actually, you know, saying something about it. I think this is kind of, I guess it would be a kind of uncharted. I kind of made the thought would be, it's similar to, say, Randy Orton's images being on a graphic that says ImpactWrestling.com. Right. You know WWE wouldn't stand for that. And I'm surprised it took TNA this long, Frank, to finally say to talent, you know, don't do that. And I'm really kind of surprised not to maybe see them cut a letter, the cease and desist letter to Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling and say, hey, you better cut this out.
Well, it's like this, man. I guess when Jeff Jarrett isn't, you know, throwing up, you know, drunken tirades, he finds a way to use the camera. And the thing about it is that who would know more, like you and I were saying offline, who would know more about TNA's situation than Jeff Jarrett? So he figures probably, well, hell, we can go out there and do this stuff. I'm already friends with TNA's lawyer, so it's not like we're going to have any kind of a problem. You know, eventually we're probably going to buy TNA if Vince doesn't get it first. So who cares? You know, I don't particularly see a problem with it, because to me, it's not really, to me, insinuating that they're going to join the force. I mean, the only way they're going to join the force is if TNA continues to bounce those checks and not get people paid.
Well, the problem is, Frank, is they're plugging the Global Force Wrestling website using talent from another company.
Yeah, well, you know what, Steve? Stuff happens, right?
I guess maybe they figure, you know, TNA is a fledgling company losing money, and they're going to pick up the phone and calling their attorney and say, is it even worth us bothering?
But fledgling, you're being nice.
dead brand, right?
Yeah, dead brand. It's done. Stick a fork in him. That steak is done. It's to the point now where it's burnt. There's no juice left. You know? Even A1
chicken. Over burnt steak from the...
That thing is finished, man. That steak has been on the Barbie for too long. It's finished. Dixie Carter sucks. And then she sucks the rest of her company, too. So, you've got it to the point where it's going to be bought eventually. But I'm guaranteeing you, man, eventually you're going to see TNA on the network.
Everybody thinks that. You know, eventually you're going to see a little logo. When you go to the pay-per-view section, it's WWE, WCW, ECW, and then it'll be TNA right next to it.
Well, TNA would be under miscellaneous.
I don't know, Frank. They had, what 12 years of pay-per-views?
Yeah, but here's the deal. Yeah, 12 years of pay-per-views, man, but I only want to see the first 5 years.
Well, eventually you probably will, a network, being a subscriber.
Oh, my gosh. Are they going to dub over that horrible music that TNA puts out there? What's that guy's name that does their music? What is his name? Damn, what's his name?
Wait a minute, Frankie. You don't think they're going to do a TNA invasion?
Who's going to be a part of Team TNA?
EC3? Samuel Shaw?
EC3?
Come on now.
Samuel Shaw. Is it going to be that wannabe CM Punk Austin Aries? Is that who's going to be out there? Hey, you know, like I said, WWE, TNA is WWE version 2. And I can point it out right now. Let's see. Daniel Bryan. Eric Young. Right? Abyss is Kane. Right?
Right.
Arcane is Abyss.
Make that comparison a lot, especially when they're both doing corporate gimmicks.
Right. Exactly, right? You know, Kane, yeah. You know, Abyss was doing the Joseph Park gimmick. And then at the same time, Kane was in his mask, and he was doing comedy with Daniel Bryan, and then he became corporate Kane. Same time, you know, and now all of a sudden Abyss puts back on the mask, Kane puts back on the mask. Huh. Okay. So then you have to look at the other talent there. Dixie Carter wants to be Stephanie McMahon. I guess MVP is Triple H. He's a COO.
Well, they both have three initials.
Right. Austin Aries, CM Punk, wannabe. They don't have the stroke or the promo skills.
That'd be quite an invasion without Christopher Daniels or AJ Styles, wouldn't it?
Oh man, you imagine if AJ Styles jumped that border or jumped that barricade, he attacked John Cena from behind. I can only imagine people would be like, "Oh crap, who the hell is that guy?"
TNA, come on!
Right,
now.
Those two people in the front row.
They have a core audience.
Yeah, TNA. Then you hear, but then you know, you hear those two people, and it's no knock against AJ Styles. I love AJ Styles, but the bottom line is, you stayed there too long, kid. They did you no justice at all. He stayed there too long, and you know what? Bottom line is that they did the guy wrong. Just like there's no need for Samoa Joe anymore. You know, the bullfrog, Alex Rusev, he's taking that job right there. I mean, the guy's got the same kind of music as Joe. Although he has that line, man. I tell you what. Whew. Yeah, she's hot. That Russian woman, she reminds me of the woman from Rocky IV.
Lana.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's a looker.
Oh yeah, she sure is. Especially last night, man. Whew. Yeah. So I tell you, I gotta get a point with the whip.
There's incentive to tune into Raw every week.
Is that, well, yeah, her segment. She comes out there speaking all that Russian stuff. Yeah, I love her to say my name in Russian.
Well, I tell you what, Frank, we've gotten some great questions today, and it's great to interact with the listeners out there and the readers of Gerwick.net. Thanks to Ravon and Richard for sending in their comments. You can hit us up anytime on the Gerwick Report on Twitter, twitter.com/Gerwick Report. These couple came in through an email. You can always email us at betweentheropes@hotmail.com. Definitely email us at hallofame@gerwick.net. No, that's a separate account I just set up for suggestions. At the end of the month, I just look through my list and see who's the most suggested name, and that becomes the candidate for that next month. So right now, I can tell you Ultimate Warrior is definitely leading for May consideration, but if you want Brian Pillman on there, you know, definitely. We got Demolition was a group that got a lot of votes initially. Honky Tonk Man, any of these guys. You want to see them on the ballot again rather than us putting up a first-time ballot candidate? Definitely let us know. And
you can also actually reach me, Frank D, at twitter.com/realfrankDEE. You can reach me. You can leave me a you can follow Frank D. Frank D doesn't have any followers except for Steve, somebody else. But if you want to follow Frank D, you can do that. I tend to put out a lot of I'm starting to get back on Twitter now, and I just you know like I said I just tweeted Jimmy Hart something, so we'll see if he'll answer my question. It might cost me $100 for him to do it, but I don't know yet.
So plug that handle again.
It's twitter.com/realfrankDEE.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people can follow you, and they can actually tweet you questions as well.
Exactly. And I'm open to answering anything, so don't be afraid of the answer you'll get back.
Absolutely. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast, open to your suggestions, your feedback, good, bad, and the ugly. We'll definitely handle it right here, as we used to do back in the Gerwick Report in the hotline days, Frank. We would take your sometimes people agreed with us, some people thought times we were crazy with some of our topics or our opinions. So, you know, we're always open to your opinions and your suggestions.
Yep, absolutely.
So, once again, Frank, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we wish everybody out there a great day.
Absolutely.